Hi, you're listening to 48 Minutes, and this is Tim Kitzrow from NBA Jam. Whoop, boom, shakalaka.
Wanted to come with it, done it, we got it with punishment. Nuggets is confident, but can't handle what we coming with. Others in love with the ruggedness, man, we just running it. Long as the public is coming, then we keep them loving it. 28 minutes, 28 minutes, 28 minutes.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to this week's edition of The Bench Mob here on 48 Minutes Basketball Network. It is now our second episode under our new name, and we are excited. And like we said, the idea of the show was things are going to be moving around. So we do have a different lineup today, and it's going to be part of the three of the four of us. So, of course, with me, Mr. Sean Mackey. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what is going on, man? How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Crazy. It's free agency time, so we're going to be diving into a lot of that stuff. And also joining us, Mr. Ben Brown himself. What's up, man?
Man, I'm good. I am real good. It was a shorter hiatus than we thought it was going to be with all the stuff moving around. But NBA free agency is where it's at. And, you know, we've had a draft and we've got things moving and shaking. So we are in it to win it, brother.
We are in it to win it, indeed. So a little bit of housekeeping, like we mentioned. 48 Minutes is expanding. If you want to check out some of our individual segments we've been highlighting from each show, we've been putting that on our YouTube channel at 48 Minutes Network. Got to give a shout out to Shot Caller's Joe Micucci for chopping those up for us. They've looked excellent. They've been a great addition to our link tree, that is, of all the thing we have going on. Also, check out Shot Caller's. They're normally live. Their shows normally go live every Friday. So they record on Thursday nights, Joe and Kyle. They're doing a hell of a job there. And if you are on TikTok, 48 Minutes is now on TikTok with videos for segments. I have no idea how to use TikTok, but they, Joe and Kyle showed me that they put a clip on there. And I was like, I guess we have one of those now. So if you're on TikTok, give us a follow at 48 Minutes Network.
Sure.
Like, someone was explaining it to me. And like, I know, Ben, you did a lot during the pandemic,
yeah, but
have no idea how it works. No, yeah, clue. I know. I'm very old man when I say this.
But right. I'm with you, Tim. I don't understand.
You know, back
it at all.
In my day,
nah, right?
But no, TikToks are cool, man. My kids, you know, still mess with it. They still, you know, and of course, all of you know, lower 20s, you know, 24, 25, you know, to 18, 19 high school kids. I mean, they're all TikToking it up, so.
Yeah. Ben, you're younger at heart than both of us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I downloaded TikTok for the first time this last week to check out a video of one of my wife's coworkers, and opened it up and started just flipping through it. And I was like, what is this?
Right.
I don't understand anything that's going on.
I don't either.
I've turned into an old man. I'm like, no wonder these young people's brains are turning to mush. Like, that was my instant reaction.
I'll say this, like, if you mess with TikTok, like, you could definitely, like, it's like YouTube. Like, you can get down the wormhole and you'll be like, oh my gosh, like, I've been strolling through TikTok for like an hour. Like,
you, yeah, see, I don't have YouTube, that kind of time. Like, I can't do that. But check us out there, guys.
Yeah, check us out. 48 Minutes Network on TikTok. So let's go ahead and get into it. Thankfully, the Shot Callers crew, as they covered the draft, they did their first round recap on their Friday episode. They left the biggest news in basketball to us to recap this week. So here on the Monday show, I know you've probably listened to a million podcasts about it already, but if you haven't, we're going to discuss the Russell Westbrook trade to the Los Angeles Lakers. So if you, for some reason or another, live underneath a rock and haven't heard, it's Russell Westbrook to the Wizards Russell Westbrook to the Lakers. The Wizards in return are getting Kyle Kuzma, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Montrezl Harrell, the Lakers, the 2021 22nd overall pick, which ended up going to the Pacers because the draft makes no sense whatsoever when it comes to people being traded. And I think there's an additional future picks in there as well. Sean, you know, when you kind of understand now the move the Lakers now have, what they're planning on being their big three, what is kind of your reaction to the current state of the Lakers with Russell Westbrook teaming with LeBron and Anthony Davis?
my instant reaction to this is are crazy. And for fun's sake, I think a lot of people are excited for this. I am not as excited though. It'll be interesting to see this team come about, but the Lakers, who already had serious shooting problems before this trade, just traded their best shooter, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, in this trade for another guy who was not a shooter. So you have three guys, three stars, two of the biggest stars in the world, and then Russell Westbrook now on this team. And I don't know what to make of it. I don't know where they're going to find a shooter that's going to be able to spread the floor now. It's just, I feel like it was a lot to give up to get another former All-Star on the roster. And I know 3 weeks ago or two or three weeks ago, they met at a restaurant, and this was already been orchestrated, you know, far before the actual day that it happened. But like, I don't know. It just, to me, it doesn't seem, especially since I've been thinking about it, doesn't really seem like something that's going to work out in the long run for me, because it's, you've just tied up so much more money at this point. What are you going to add to this team now? You know,
Pacers.
And that's, you're exactly right, Tim. Because you start to hear names like Carmelo Anthony. You start to hear names, which DeMar DeRozan would be a huge addition, but you still don't have any shooters, man. Russell Westbrook is so ball dominant. You want to have somebody there that you can kick the ball to and be able to shoot. Your best shooter on the floor is LeBron. Like I get it. And LeBron has improved his shooting.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to survive and make it out of the Western Conference and LeBron is your kickoff, and you're expecting him to make a large amount of three-pointers or jump shots, which he can, and in some instances he can. But, I was really hoping they'd pull off something and get Buddy Hield. That's what I was hoping for. To me, Buddy Hield is a way better fit, with a guy like Dennis Schroeder and a better fit with LeBron, because LeBron can be the dish guy. That's where he's best, driving and kicking and getting to the basket and kicking to a Buddy Hield. I mean, what we say, Buddy shot, over 40% from three or close to? Like, I kind of like that move better, but, on the bright side, you add another All-Star. You add another guy who's hungry for a ring. You add another competitor. There's nobody more competitive than Russell Westbrook. And you add a guy that can, get to the basket. He's average triple double in the season, so he has no problem kicking the ball to anybody or doing those type of things. But I just don't think that it's enough. I mean, not that it's enough, but like, I don't know if you've complimented them enough with enough shooters in order for them to be able to be effective the way that they think they're going to be effective. Now, like I've said on this show before, I will never doubt LeBron. I will never doubt Anthony Davis when he's healthy. And a healthy and determined Russell Westbrook, that is going to be a good team. I just don't know if they've got enough shooting in order to get to where they want to be.
Yeah, I think you both make really good points. Certainly the spacing is a major concern, and fit is also a concern as well. But I'll tell you what, I think one of the things I kind of do like about it is it feels like it's certainly a move where, yeah, Buddy Field's definitely a better fit, but Westbrook's certainly a better player. Mm-hmm. So it feels like this is more of a ceiling raiser than it was anything for this team. And, like you said, this is a guy who's ultra competitive. And if the reports come out to be true, that, when they had their discussion that Westbrook was willing to play more off the ball and LeBron and AD were more willing to pay the 4 and the 5, then that's great. You can throw any two shooters at the 2 and 3 and those guys can make something happen. Taylor Horton Tucker could end up being your starting two in that circumstance. The fact that the Wizards did not get him in the trade blows my mind.
That's shocking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or ask for him or anything like that.
Yeah.
Especially because they wanted Kuzma so bad. But you know, as far as like you mentioned, there's a lot of names that are coming out as far as people who could potentially fill in for those additional spots. And, you know, Marc Gasol's still on the team. So what happens with Marc Gasol if Anthony Davis is going to be playing the five? Because that's certainly one of your better passers on the team. Obviously, you have Westbrook and LeBron, so your passing is not going to be too much of an issue. But, you know, you've mentioned, you know, DeMar DeRozan, there's discussions that he's willing to pretty take a nice pay cut to play with the Lakers and come home and take a chance at a title, which would be unbelievable. That would be spectacular. Carmelo Anthony's name's come up a lot. I saw today from Silver Screen and Roll, looks like Dwight Howard is making the notion that he's ready to come back to the Lakers for his third tenure with the team.
I like that.
I like that move. Yeah, I like it. I think, you know, Dwight Howard works so well for that team when they won the title.
Yeah. I do not agree. I don't disagree one bit with that. I think that'd be a huge addition to bring him back. I really do.
I'll be honest. I know that LeBron and Anthony Davis both said that they would be willing to play the four and five more, but
we've heard this before.
We're going to get in this. Anthony Davis does not like playing the five, man. Yeah. Like, he does not like playing the five. I mean, obviously you bring in Dwight, you can do that, but I just don't see that as a long-term solution for this to work. Westbrook is going to be the one that's going to need to change more than anything in this. And like you said, Ben, LeBron's going to have to be the guy who's catching and shooting now. So I think that would be fantastic. I just, in this day and age, players taking a pay cut, especially like DeMar DeRozan's not a bad basketball player right now. I don't know. I don't necessarily see it at this point.
You know, I think that there are some positives and some negatives to all of that. But here's the thing with that. I know Giannis, we just watched him win a finals, and he had to play the five. And he was a matchup nightmare for a lot of different people in those schemes. When he played the five, like, that kind of changed the momentum of the series. When you're able to go him, PJ Tucker, then you had those – you know, those guys guarding, you know, Drew Holiday and middle, like when he went to the five, it gave them issues because that was a huge mismatch for Ayton. Ayton is a great player, but he's just not Giannis. So it gave them fits. So I don't know if Anthony Davis, I know he hates playing the five, but man, like if he's able to do it and he's able to be effective, he's a matchup nightmare for 95% of the fives in the league. You know what I mean? So, like, maybe that's something, the sacrifice that he said he'll make. And if they do, I think that's where they could have more success.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that point. I think that, you know, for this work, that's probably going to have to be the case. He's probably got to play his majority minutes at the five. I think that's just kind of like, if you want this to work, that's how it's got to be. My worry is the same worry we've had with Russell Westbrook for, like, you know, his whole career is like, is this going to finally be the stage where he learns to like play and go to the rim, be more of a cutter off the ball? And, you know, he played a lot off the ball in Houston with Harden. He didn't really have to do it too much last year in Washington with Beal. So that certainly kind of is something that's going to jump out to me is, you know, like with LeBron's facilitating the offense, what is Westbrook doing? Is he standing in the corner, like out of the play and just not moving? Or is this something where he's going to like kind of learn to use his backdoor cuts and kind of, you know, attack the rim a little more off the ball? Because that's the thing we've all been wanting Westbrook to do forever. You know, we know he's an insane athlete. The Lakers might now have two of the five greatest athletes in the NBA on their team. But, you know, that's no disrespect to Anthony Davis by any means. But I think now it's kind of like, you know, for Westbrook, it's, you know, how much is your game going to evolve? Because we know that volume wise, you're an unbelievably bad three-point shooter. And we know that defense is not his specialty anymore. But with that being said, I think if you look at that stretch after Beal got hurt this year, you saw that he is still a very dynamic basketball player, and he's very flawed, but still unbelievably good and ridiculously athletic. And still has the tendency to take over a game. So, you know, if they have those nights where it's probably going to be a little better now when LeBron's off the court, like they kind of have someone else that can run the offense. And that kind of makes things interesting as well.
Yeah. And like you said, I mean, you still have THT, you still have Caruso, both shoot the
hopefully
ball fairly
until
well.
Caruso.
So I mean, you've got guys there, but I think that they're probably going to look to bring in one more possible shooter. I don't know who, and I don't know how much you're going to be able to spend, because I mean, they're about as cash strapped as you can be, but there's still guys on their roster. What's that, Tim?
Malik Monk's a free agent. Go to LA, baby.
Yep. So, I mean, there's still guys out there. There's still guys that are on their roster that shoot the ball well. So, those three are dynamic players. If you can put the pieces around them, a motivated LeBron, a motivated Westbrook, and you know Anthony Davis is going to be motivated because he went down with the injury and, you know, people were calling him, you know, street clothes Davis and all this stuff. Like, it's,
he didn't have his best year.
Yeah. So he's going to be motivated. So it'll be interesting to see how all that dynamic works and who they bring in. I mean, who truly is willing to accept the league minimum if they're going to come and play with the Lakers, who's truly going to take all that money out of their pocket and say, okay, yeah, I'm going to do this to sacrifice to try to win the championship.
It's not like it was when it was down in Miami, you know, a decade ago, you mm-hmm. know, where there were players that were willing to take that and, you know, and they kind of knew that they would, but I think we're past that era.
I think that this could be great because betting odds now do have the Lakers as the favorites to win the title, which, you know, for a roster that has five people on it, I don't know how that's possible. One of those five is Alphonso McKinney.
Yeah.
Actually six. Yeah, they have six guys on the roster now.
All right.
So it could be awesome. If I very well suspect that, like, you know, by midseason they're gonna hit a run. It very well could be 2004 Los Angeles Lakers all over again. You know, we're like, oh, Brian Russell's joined the team to come off the bench, and you're like, oh no. Oh yep. No.
Yeah.
Oh. When you read like Perlman's book about that season of like the 04 Lakers, it's just so funny how dysfunctional that all really was. Mm-hmm. And so like, you know, like, I really hope it's not that again. I don't think it will. I think Dwight really likes LA. If you remember though, in the bubble, Dwight and Russ, I mean, they were kind of going at it in that Rockets Lakers series. So like that could make it fun. The other thing too, is about these like mid-level guys, you know, these guys like that is, you know, how many attractive offers are they going to have too, besides the Lakers? I think Brooklyn certainly is going to be in the market to get guys. I think Brooklyn did a really good job with their two first round picks, getting, you know, Thomas, who I talked about last week on the show from LSU as a good fit for the Lakers, funny enough. And then getting De'Ron Sharpe from North Carolina. So that's a good start to their bench. But, you know, they're going to have to offer Blake Griffin probably more money than they want to. And I think JJ Redick makes a ton of sense for Brooklyn. Obviously, he mentioned, you know, wanting to play on the East Coast. So I don't know if he's going to want to be a Laker fit just because he was trying to get closer to his family. And I believe they actually live in Brooklyn. So that's, you know, maybe the Lakers aren't going to be the fit for JJ Redick, though they'd be a spectacular fit. You know, this Duncan Robinson market, it sounds more and more like he's going to be in a sign and trade for Kyle Lowry. Cause it's the only
I saw that.
That's the whole reason they picked up Goran's option. So I don't know, man, this mid-level thing's going to be fun. But you know, I hate to say it. Wouldn't it have made sense for the Lakers to like make a move at Lonzo Ball here instead of Russell Westbrook? Like, wouldn't he have been perfect with AD and LeBron?
Yeah, I mean, he would have fit, I think, a little bit better. At least he's a guy that could be off the ball and hit jump shots when he's on, you know what I mean? So I don't know how many, you know, if LeBron is ball dominant and he's the guy distributing the basketball, I don't know how well Westbrook, like you said before, what's Westbrook going to do off the ball? So, I mean, Lonzo has been shown to be a little bit more better slasher, passer, cutter, shooter,
Good shooter now too. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would have liked the Lonzo Ball look, but
that's
like,
okay.
like Sean said earlier though, I think it was just more name chasing than it was, you know,
it certainly was.
It's a sexy name.
So,
hey, like I said, I feel like it really raises their ceiling but also could make things really brutal. Cause I feel like, I mean, that's a tough team that you want to like those three alone. If you get guys to buy in to kind of join and like be part of the program, you know, that can make, that could be a pretty tough team to have to beat four times.
Oh yeah.
Especially if they stay healthy. Like, I have no issues with Russell wanting to go there. I think that he, it definitely could be spectacular. He was really good last year in stretches. I know his 3-point shooting was still pretty brutal. I'm more worried about his free throw shooting than I am his 3-point shooting, because he's going to draw fouls a lot. Teams are going to like, you know, teams are going to be so like, not to the point where they don't want to put Davis in the line. You know, LeBron's obviously not a world-class free throw shooter either. But you know, if they get another shooter like Carmelo and the guys like that, like Westbrook's going to be the guy they're going to target to put on the foul line to get like extra possession. So how does that help the Lakers? I don't know. It's going to be really exciting. I think they're definitely going to be, the Lakers are already must-see TV. This makes them even more must-see TV, just to see how it all plans out. But we'll kind of move around real quick too. And I want to touch real quick on the other, another trade that happened. And that is Derek Favors going to Oklahoma City for once again, getting first round picks. And at what point do we just stop this? Like, at what point does harvesting draft picks come to an end? I mean, Oklahoma City this week harvested their draft picks, you know, and like they got Josh Giddey, who was literally my least favorite top 10 pick in the draft. I was pretty open about that, but have we not learned from like this Philadelphia thing? Like, did we not learn from the Sixers? Like, this isn't the best idea all the time. The process, you know, do you guys think the process worked? I don't think the process worked. What do they have to show for it?
Right.
And beat spectacular. And
Simmons, everybody else falters.
Yep. Yeah. And Simmons struggles with
the, they had like a 1 or 2 year window and it's gone. With one shot from Kawhi, you know, that was kind of it right there. So, they have nothing to show for it.
So I feel like if this is the roadmap that the Thunder are following, it's a really bad roadmap.
Yeah.
And then they offered Shea to teams this week. It's like, what are you guys doing? Like,
right.
Do you think there is a more irrelevant team in the NBA right now than the Oklahoma City Thunder?
Yeah. They're called the New Orleans Pelicans.
Yeah, but they have Zion, so that's
true.
That's, I was going to say, I would definitely watch the Pelicans more than Zion than I would OKC, for sure.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, they're up there with maybe Sacramento.
Sacramento is definitely more relevant.
So
yeah, if Orlando didn't just win the draft, you could put them on that list, but they had a spectacular draft.
They did.
Sure.
They did.
But you know, you look at what the Thunder have going on right now. And they went from, you know, having three future MVPs on the team to I don't even know what they're doing anymore. Like, I don't know, just getting draft picks over and over again and swapping out, you know, former average players. You know, it's like, how many times are you going to have a Steven Adams or a Derek Favors? You know what I mean? It's like, there's just every year you got somebody like that who deserves so much better, you know, to be a role player on like a good team. And it's like, they're like holding those players. And it's like, and also Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was open for, they're open to move him right now too, apparently. And why? What's your building block? What the fuck are you doing?
Right. Like, right. Exactly.
Like, yeah. I don't like all these years that we were like, Sam Presti, he's so smart, he's such a genius. Now we're starting to be like,
what are we doing?
Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. What are we doing?
Like, people who are like, you know, they've got Poku and Poku is great. And I'm like, Poku just averaged about 5 points a game in the NBA as rookie year.
Right.
Like,
perhaps Sam Presti is in with the city of Seattle. He's just waiting to get shipped back there.
You know, maybe. So.
And if that was the plan all along, then all right.
Right.
I'm cool with the team going back to that. But it's like, how do you, like, the Thunder without their stars were completely, you know, they weren't going to be a relevant team at all. And now you move away from Seattle. Now you're in Oklahoma City. You built a fan base, and now you're basically abandoning the fan base for draft picks. But for what? Are you going to draft them? Are you going to trade them for more draft picks?
If you're a Thunder fan, actually, if you're a Cavs fan at that too, but how sick are you if the Lakers and the Nets play in the finals? How sick are you watching as a Thunder fan, watching your big three play against each other in the finals? And for the Cavs, how sick are you if LeBron and Kyrie are playing against each other in the finals too? It's like, poor fan bases.
Yeah.
Pretty funny though.
Yeah. I mean, looking at OKC's roster, like
there's Shea.
Yeah, there's Shea. Luke Dort had a halfway decent season.
I love Darius Bazley. I love him as a player.
Yeah.
This is the 1990s.
Did they get Kemba?
That's like a flip. I don't think they have any plans with him playing for them. But
they're going to move him. But
it might be Chris Paul all over again. They might be stuck with Chris. Remember they tried to move Chris Paul when they got him, and they were stuck with them.
And it ended up being
great for him.
It did. Yeah. It worked out really well for him. I don't know. Their roster's kind of blah. I mean, outside of Shea and Bazley, I don't get excited about, the rest of their roster. It's kind of it.
Yeah. They like popped up with this thing. Josh Giddey, they pop up with this like weakness, and it's like passing, shooting, defense. Right. It's like, all right, so he can't play basketball.
The game of basketball is my weakness.
Yeah, I was, I understood that Scottie Barnes was taken 4, which shocked everybody. But I could not believe that's who they went with at 6. Could not believe it. I understand they were trying to move up quite a bit to try to get Jalen Suggs, which, again, shout out the Magic, man.
Yeah.
Getting the draft dropped in your lap, like getting him and Franz. Yeah. Like
what a best case scenario for the Orlando Magic.
I know.
I get it. Barnes left. So you don't have a backup plan? Like that's your backup plan? Like
this isn't to say I hope Josh Giddey fails. I just
not at all.
I do not feel comfortable with the excitement around him. Like
I don't know. It just seems, I don't know what's going on out there. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It is. All right. So let's talk a few about some options that came out, some news today. So obviously we're getting ready for free agency. And so a lot of things are going on. We talked earlier, Goran Dragic got his option picked up by the Miami Heat. That seems very much like a Kyle Lowry move, is what's like a lot of people are saying. This is going to be a sign and trade. Duncan Robinson also being discussed as well as being part of that. The Kyle Lowry market is going to be the market. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, so obviously now we know Los Angeles is out. I can't imagine the Wizards are going to be trying to get Kyle Lowry to pair with Bradley Beal. I don't know exactly who their point guard is going to be. Isaac Bonga's option got declined too. So he's a free agent. So,
right.
I don't think people caught on that was a joke by me. Sorry, 2K players. Isaac Bonga's really not that good in the NBA. So the Lowry market's certainly interesting. And I think that's definitely the move Miami's making. New Orleans has been heavily linked to him too. The Lonzo Ball effect that he's a restricted free agent up in the air. Today, Chris Haynes was on the NBA network and he reported that it is very much like his sources have told him it's very much likely that the Bulls and Lonzo Ball are going to be working out a deal, which sounds great, but restricted free agency means they can work out a deal all they want, but if the Pelicans match, it doesn't matter.
Right.
So a lot of moves there. And obviously the two bigger ones, Kawhi Leonard declines his option, $36 million. Looks like that's a move for the Clippers to kind of work around some cash, get additional guys. For some reason, I don't know why anyone wants to play for the Clippers. Especially since
Kawhi Leonard, your Clipper hate's so real.
It's just Kawhi Leonard's probably not going to play much.
It's so real.
It is.
Your Clipper hate is so real.
Clippers and Trae Young.
Like, this is the Celtics, like for real. Like it's.
Yeah, he's so, like we can talk about the Clippers, but who would want to do something like that?
Like, cares about them rusty, dusty Clippers. Anyway, what were you?
And then Chris Paul declined his $44 million option with the Suns, which that sounds a lot like that's also to give the Suns some cash to improve their team. So the market's going to be interesting. You know, with those two, obviously everything sounds like they're going back to their respective franchises. You know, if you're the Clippers, obviously, you know, you're pretty much preparing for a season without Kawhi Leonard. I mean, I guess, did he tell you guys he was going to not play? Did he tell you he was going to play? Apparently he keeps everyone in the quiet because that's what he does. So do they actually know he declined his option, or did it just like, did Chris Haynes tell them?
I'm sure. I was going to say it probably popped up on when Chris Haynes told them, hey, you know, Kawhi's not, he's declining his option. And on top of that though, like he declined his option to work around and you're not going to have him. So, you know, I don't even know how that's going to work. I mean, what are you going to – you're not going to have him for the season. What are you going to do with his contract if he – he's got to resign for, I guess, maybe a lower amount to where they're going to try to bring some guys in. But because he's not going to play – I mean, if he had ACL surgery
– he's not going to play this year.
It's hard to think he will.
And he's not going to come back in the playoffs either, because we've seen this story happen before with him. Yeah, he's not going to come back until he's absolutely ready to come back. He's like, screw them. They're going to pay me. I agree. Yeah, he doesn't need to come back, but he's definitely going to take his time. He's not going to be one of those guys who's going to rush his ass out on the court for the playoffs. They're gonna lose him for an entire year. But here's the other thing that kind of pisses me off about Kawhi. It's like there was really no transparency, like even during the playoffs, because it was like everyone's like, well, he has an ACL injury, but we don't really know what it is.
Right.
And then it was like there's reports that he's torn his ACL, but it was like nobody would say anything. Like that's not normal. Like usually it's just like, okay, Derrick Rose tore his ACL. Well, great. You know, it's like, give us the news. But it's
Thompson.
Like, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's just like, give us the freaking news here and tell us what's going on. And it's like, you know, the Clippers, I agree with you, Tim. Like they were a clown organization during my youth, and they've had some years of relevancy, you know, over the last couple of years, but come on. This has been a bust. This has been a bust so far.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Los Angeles
Clippers forever look like Tarzan, play like Jane.
Yeah. I don't know if it was gamemanship where they're like, oh, we don't know, maybe Kawhi may come back, or they were trying to hide something. But I mean, I don't know. I don't know why they would just not say, hey, Torres ACL is going to have surgery after the season, blah, blah, blah. And let everybody else move on with their life. They tried to hide it and play games and act like he could possibly come back. It was just an AC, and I, you know, like, guy's injured, had your surgery, and move on about your life.
Yeah. It's like everybody was in the dark about it. So it's like, and now here we are. Here we are. He's declining his option. He's not going to play next year. Is he going to come back to the Clippers? He is coming back, right?
Yeah. I suspect fully he'll sign back.
Okay.
Dude, I don't know, man. Kawhi's a strange bird, man. Like, I could definitely see him declining and being like,
"The Knicks look
cool. I'm going somewhere else." You know what I mean? Like, you know, no, there's nothing. I don't think there's anything clear cut about Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me at all.
Yeah, if we haven't learned anything, like that guy's going to do what he wants to do. So if they mess around and they're terrible and they don't pick up any new bodies, and Paul George isn't the Paul George that he thought he was, like, I could see him just be like, "Yep, I'm out. Like, I'm going to go somewhere else and do something else." Like that would not surprise me one bit. Yeah. Not one bit.
That would be like, could you imagine like a Clippers Blazers trade Dame Lillard for Kawhi Leonard or some crazy shit? Like, you guys want to win the title for a year? All right, cool. And then I'm out. I think that's the one funny thing about the Westbrook thing we forgot to mention earlier. This will be his fourth team in 4 years.
Yeah.
So he's like,
he can't find a home, man.
He's basically better Derrick Rose at this point, where he just like travels around. Like,
yeah.
He's doing
I will die on this hill. I really think, and this is backtracking, but I really think that Kawhi should have stayed in Toronto, because I think that team was built to win. They had a championship team. Some of those guys would have stayed. He would have helped Siakam develop. They would have been right there in the hunt again if he stays.
Yeah, could have spent a year in Tampa with Tom Brady.
It would have been a harder hunt though. It absolutely would have been a
harder hunt. I agree. But you know, I think that if he stayed, if you're going back that year, like if he stays, you know, you're still going to battle Philly. The Bucks were not the Bucks that they are now because, you know, that year they still had Eric Bledsoe. So they're not, you know, it's not the Jrue Holiday Bucks. You know, Philly's Philly. I mean, you don't know what you're going to get out of Philly. You know, Boston's Boston. You know, I mean, well, Tim hates them. And, you know, Boston's kind of the same way I think of Philly. You know what I mean? Like they got all this potential and blah, blah, blah. And then they fall short. So,
well, you haven't mentioned one yet. And we just got a Woj bomb.
Okay.
So, per sources of ESPN, this is straight from Woj's Twitter account. Once discussions were permitted to begin with the opening of free agency on Monday, the Miami Heat are positioning themselves to become the front runners to land Toronto's Kyle Lowry in a sign and trade agreement. Lowry has long been intrigued with joining Heat star Jimmy Butler in the Miami organization, and now Miami's maneuvered to have two key elements of a possible sign and trade package in Goran Dragic and Precious Achiuwa to offer the Raptors once talks can ensue at 6 p.m. So, Kyle Lowry to the Heat is a matchup I love. I am not going to lie to you. Love the fit. If it's just like Precious and Goran and they still can keep one of those shooters to go with Butler and Bam, that team's a lot of fun and that team's really good. And you still have up in the air, will you have Victor Oladipo back or not? You know, if you get Oladipo back, you get Kyle Lowry to go with, you know, but with like those guys we mentioned, like, watch out for the Heat, man. That's a good freaking basketball team.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
and,
a good
and
team.
Bam and, you know, it's.
He fits. Lowry fits that mold, man. He fits that Heat culture mold. Mm-hmm. You know, just a tough, gritty guy. Leadership. I mean, he gives them another leader, another guy that's a dog. I like that fit. I really like that fit, actually.
The only thing that I do not like about this is Kyle Lowry's 35.
Yeah. And we mentioned that last week. He's old, man.
Like he's that guy is 2 years younger than me, you know, and there's no reason a guy that's my age should be playing professional basketball. So
how old was Michael Jordan when he won his last MVP?
Was he what? 31,
35.
Okay. 35. Well, here's the thing. Tim, he was Michael Jordan.
How old was Kareem when he was winning championships with Magic in his late
30s? He was
38, wasn't he?
Yeah, but that was different. He wasn't the same player then.
So according to Sean, LeBron James should not be playing basketball anymore because he's 36.
No, he's done. He should hang it up. He's washed. there's like three to five like really good players that have played in their late 30s and been effective. And historically, they haven't been great. I don't know if Kyle Lowry is going to be that guy, you know, a year from now. So it's like, let's see how long this deal is going to be.
Right.
I assume it's a 3 year, probably. Same with Chris Paul. I mean, it sounds like Chris Paul is going to be about 3 year, $90 million. That gives the Suns $15 million a year back.
So CP3 turned down what? $40 million?
$44 million.
So he could go after 90 of guaranteed money. So it's like, I get it.
Yeah.
I
also,
don't know what to say.
That'll make him what? 39.
39.
Gosh, dang, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tom Brady has ruined primes for everybody.
Yep.
Tom Brady.
You're right about that.
LeBron James and Joey Votto have ruined the primes of every athlete.
Yeah.
Now you're expected to be good till you're 100. Let's talk real quick about this whole Lonzo Ball thing, because now that we kind of have hearing more and more about this, I can't imagine New Orleans is going to be really comfortable letting him walk through the door. I know this point guard market is going to be wild. I mean, Dennis Schroeder, we now know, is more than likely going to be out there. And the Lakers can still use him in a sign and trade to get players as well. It's a thing we didn't mention earlier. We've talked for a long time now. We talked about the trade deadline. We know that this was discussed. And Lonzo has had a lot of interest in Chicago from what reports have said. Rich Paul has had a lot of interest in getting him to Chicago. I think he's the absolute perfect point guard for Zach LaVine and for Vooch and Patrick Williams. And I love that they got Ayo Dosunmu. That's not really a part of my point. I just want to mention I'm very excited about that pick. Mm-hmm.
I'm excited because you're excited, Tim.
Yeah, I think he'll be a good player. I really do. I don't think he'll be great or anything, but it's probably the most exciting second round pick the Bulls have ever had, you know, like at least in like the era of the 2-round draft. You know, what are you gonna say, Paul Zipser?
I was pretty happy about Taj Gibson, man. I'll be honest with you.
Oh, that's true. Okay. I stand corrected. You are. But now that this Lowry news is out, I kind of imagine that means New Orleans is going to be more likely to, you know, if they're not going to get a guy like a Schroeder, which I don't think Schroeder was really a great fit for them over Lonzo by any means. I have to imagine that, you know, this is going to be a situation where the Bulls are going to have to offer probably even more money than they wanted to get Lonzo Ball away from New Orleans.
Yeah.
I
would agree with that. But I do agree with you though. He'd be a really good fit there with Chicago. But they're going to have to spend some money. And if the Pelicans are smart, they would match. I don't think that you could find anybody else out in this market that's going to fit what Lonzo is going to do, you know, whether he stays with the Pelicans or goes with the Bulls. I don't know. I do like the fit with the Bulls, but I do think the Pelicans will match because, like you said, the market's getting thinner for point guards.
Yeah, because I'm looking now. So Chris Paul looked like he's going back to Phoenix.
Yeah.
It sounds like Mike Conley is going back to Utah. It sounds like it's 3 years, $60 million.
60, yeah.
We've now heard that Kyle Lowry is more than likely going to Miami.
Yep.
Schroeder is up in the market. I mean, you know, he's going to be unrestricted free agent, but it sounds like this could be a potential sign and trade. You know, I think really the only other name out there, because, you know, Corey Joseph, Patty Mills, I don't really feel like they're needle movers by any means, obviously. But after that, it's, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie, who is a really good NBA player. Also, I think if the Bulls couldn't get Lonzo Ball, I think he'd be a really good fit for the Bulls as well. Yeah. It's almost like they had him once in training camp and didn't keep him. But, you know, Dinwiddie, Lonzo, as much as people are tired of hearing it, Derrick Rose, which I guess the Bulls are apparently discussing bringing him back again.
No.
If you can get Lonzo and Derrick Rose as your backup, I'm for it. And otherwise, no way in hell. Elfrid Payton, a guy Sean really likes. He's an unrestricted free agent. Frankie Ntilikina, Dennis Smith Jr., Ryan Arcidiacono, Reggie Jackson. My point is,
Arcidiacono, they just declined his option. So
yeah, he's gone. So my point is that this market's setting up nice. So if we think everything's going to work the way it is, you're down to, at that point, Schroeder, Dinwiddie, Lonzo, and Rose are going to be the 4 point guards. And
yep.
Lonzo is better than all of them.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like Lonzo is the best free agent point guard. You know, because those guys, I don't really count Paul Conley, you know, and Lowry as free agent, because they're going to sign people pretty quick.
They're going to say they're already accounted for.
Yeah. So go ahead, John.
I'm with Ben on this. I think that New Orleans is going to match this deal regardless. And I know we've talked about this privately over the last week about, you know, Lonzo going to Chicago and everything. And it's just, to me, it's a lot of money to tie up with Lonzo Ball. Like, it's a lot of money. And I don't think that Lonzo Ball, Zach LaVine, and Vooch, it's not a championship team right there at all. And it's like, it's another case of me just saying, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing? Like, if this is the best that you can put together right now, and you know as well as probably everybody watching that this is not going to get you closer to a title, what are we doing?
But why? I mean, I get your point, but like, so because of that point that they're not going to a title, they shouldn't get a better point guard than what they have?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that sinking more money into another guy you've got two all-stars on your team. Okay. I'm not sure that Zach LaVine is going to become better than he was last season. I'll be honest with you. I think he's going to plateau. I don't see him getting better than he is. I don't think he's going to come out
with that.
Okay. Okay. I don't think he's going to get better defensively. I think he's going to plateau at some point. And the half season that we saw with him and Vooch, it didn't really impress me that much, to a point where I'm like, you know, this is great. They have a great coach. They have a really, really good coach. And there are like some weeks over the last year where they had a couple wins racked up. And I was like, this is good. This is going in there. And it's like, and then it would just be swallowed up by, you know, loss after loss after loss after loss. Now, a lot of that was because of COVID protocol with LaVine being out. I get that. But I don't know. We'll see. It's like one of those things, I'm going to have to see it to believe it. You know what I mean? Like, I have to see it in action. And it just seems like a lot of money to sink into Lonzo right now. And I hope that Lonzo is going to become a better player. And Lonzo is, he's already a great player, but he's not, I don't know. I just feel like it's almost like overpaying.
I do it.
You do it.
I do.
Well, they have no other option at this point. They have no other option. They have no point guard. They have no point guard right now.
Oh, I agree. I completely agree. Like, Tomas Satoransky cannot be your point guard. Like,
he cannot be your point guard.
No, and that's not a dig on Tomas Satoransky by any means. Or is it Satoransky? Whichever.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. But he ain't the guy.
Right. Exactly. And not the guy. You know,
not going to be here anymore.
Tomas on the way out. Yeah. And I love Kobe White as a bench player. I think he's a great microwave. Just come in, get hot, and get some. I mean, he's had some crazy scoring games already.
He's going to be – he's in.
But he's a two, you know. And, yeah, he's hit. He's hurt. And, like, he doesn't have a – he doesn't have his throw anymore. So does he lose some shot percentage with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I love Ayo Dosunmu, but I don't think the Bulls are expecting him to come in and be the point guard. And if they are, God rest us all. I say that and he'll probably end up being spectacular. And I get what you're saying.
I hope he is.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, Sean. I do. But for me, it's, you know, the Bulls are at a point where it's like, we're sick of not making the playoffs. You know, we've done the rebuild. The rebuild failed horribly. If we don't get Lonzo, Thad Young's our best perimeter defender.
Sure.
And I think at this point, you know, you brought in Pat Williams, who's a really good defender.
You got to swing for the fences. I get it.
Yeah, you got to, you know, I think you got to be competitive. And I think a full training camp is a thing too. Like, Vooch and LaVine didn't have that with a shortened season plus the trade. So I think, you know, having a full off season is going to be big for them. And obviously I know LaVine's in Tokyo right now with the Olympic team, but you know, he comes back. I'm sure camp's probably like 5-6 weeks after that. Get ready for the season. God, we're already that close. That's crazy.
Absolutely.
I think that will, that's one thing I do think will kind of help Zach LaVine a little bit this next year.
Yeah.
Going out and playing with the Olympics, playing with some big players and everything. And maybe he can get some whispers in some ears, you know, hey, come play with me.
Did you see the whole thing with like Lillard where they're like, and I'm so sick of Lillard and Beal stuff. I'm so sick of both those guys, but they're like in and out and dipping their feet in the water thing that everyone keeps reporting. You, like, I guess like when like all the guys are like voicing like their frustrations about their team, Lillard, they said, was the loudest of all the Olympic players. And then all of a sudden he's like, no, I didn't say any of that. And it's like, buddy, there's a lot of smoke there. Like,
yeah.
That's like everyone just trying to like downplay like Zion being unhappy in New Orleans. It's like, how many national reporters now have been like, Zion is not really having a good time in New Orleans. He does not know the direction of the team. And like, they're like, he was really unhappy.
Ask us anyone else.
Yeah. Right, like, he was really unhappy. JJ Redick left. And it's like, oh boy. Would that be awesome if Lonzo was the first guy to demand a trade in his rookie contract? That would be spectacular.
Man.
I know that my boy Chris Connor does not want to hear that at the Bird Rights, but yeah, man, I'm sorry to break it to you. Lonzo won't be finishing his career with the Pelicans. I think we all know this.
He also will not be winning a championship there.
No, he will not.
Not going to happen.
You're absolutely right. So kind of speaking a bit about Team USA, they have advanced now to at a pool play. They will be in the quarterfinals after their win this weekend against the Czech Republic, which they were losing at the end of the first quarter and won by 40. So it seems like they're starting to click there. And on top of that, pretty cool news that Kevin Durant has passed Carmelo Anthony now is the all-time leading scorer in Team USA basketball history. And here's the thing that's super cool about that is, you know, right now Durant's playing for his third gold medal. And like, obviously, like to have that to go with it, we already know he's, you know, at this point, the gold medal is just another addition to his legacy. But I think it's pretty cool. And it seems like this team's kind of getting it together. It seems like it's inevitable. They're going to have another matchup with France soon. I don't know if the quarterfinal brackets have come out just yet. So that should be coming out soon. But shout out KD. Shout out Team USA for putting it together. Lillard hit like with 6 for 6 for 3 in a stretch in yesterday's game. So
yeah.
Seems like as the games are going on, you know, they had two games that you knew they would win against the Iran, the Czech Republic. Seems like now that this team maybe starting to put together. So,
yeah, it was good to see. It was good to see some of the guys that, you know, hit shots. You know, Durant, I think, was 8 of 12, you know, Lillard was hitting shots. You know, so it was good to see guys that are normally hitting shots, hit shots. It seems like they're playing a little bit better. There's a little bit more rhythm to their games. It's got to be tough, man. You play a full season. You play in a playoff. You come together for a couple training camps, games. You play a couple games against some who's and whatever, and then you go try to win a gold medal. Now, those guys are all professionals, but there's still got to be some continuity and things like that that grow. I think that they're starting to get there. Watching that game the other day, it looked like they were starting to get a little bit more fluid in their offense. And I don't think the defense has not been an issue. I think they've done a great job rotating the people still and getting to where they need to be. It's just they got to hit shots. Man, they hit shots, they'll beat everybody. I think that's namely you got way too many good shooters on that team for them to ever be as cold as they were the other night. So. Hopefully, you know, if they continue to hit shots, you know, and Durant continues to be the best player on the floor, I think they'll be okay.
They got a good matchup on Tuesday. They got Spain.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a good game for them. That's going to be definitely a challenge. Ricky Rubio, while in Spain, found out he was going to the Cavaliers. So, I mean, poor in Tokyo. Bastard. So when you get back from Japan, make sure you pack your bags for Cleveland.
Yeah. Happy thoughts, Ricky. Happy thoughts.
Yeah. So, if the United States, the winner of the United States and Spain game will get the winner of Australia and Argentina in the quarterfinal later in the week, and the other group is France and Italy and Slovenia and Germany. So, it seems more and more likely that we could see a gold medal game of the United States versus France after that first matchup and France beat them. So,
yeah.
Pretty scary. But I mean, I say that and, you know, Australia and, you know, if they Australia and Spain aren't bad teams either. So,
right.
But yeah, like you said, Kevin Durant's out there hitting shots, Damian Lillard's hitting shots, Bam Adebayo's running the pick and rolls and making his layups, and it's a whole different team. I'm excited to see how this plays out. The women's team doesn't seem like they're having any troubles. if you are in America and are up tonight at 12:40 AM, listening to this podcast as it'll be up then, watching the women's team play France. I really hope you're having a great time. You can probably go to bed because they're probably gonna win by 40. Yeah, they're pretty awesome. I
yes, they are.
And then the 3-on-3 women's team won the gold medal.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
The
yeah.
fact that 3-on-3 basketball is an Olympic sport was kind of amazing to watch because it looked like at times. This isn't a dig on Olympic athletes by any means. So at times when I would watch it, it looks like if you like drove down to the park and watched a 3-on-3 half court game is what it looked like. And it was kind of like, all right, I can get behind this.
It was cool to watch, man. Actually, you know, I got a chance to watch a couple of those games and it was legit like 3-on-3. Like, you know, you get a rebound, oh, you got to dribble it out, check it out. You know what I mean? Like it was legit. Like it was pretty cool. So,
yeah. I think Ice Cube's 3-on-3 league has made things like made 3-on-3 basketball gain a lot more attention.
Yeah.
That's crazy to say.
Isn't it?
That sentence makes sense. Which is weird.
Very weird. And then last topic I want to touch on before we got out of here is the most blah 3-team trade I've ever heard in my life happened on Friday between the Celtics, the Kings, and the Hawks. And I think the Mavericks also got involved in this somehow too. So maybe it was more than that. But Tristan Thompson is going to be a member of the Kings. Josh Richardson is going to the Celtics. Chris Dunn, I think, is also going to the Celtics.
Yes.
I don't know if I've ever heard of a trade that I've went, more in my life than this one.
I would 1,000% agree. Matter of fact, that was the second time Tristan Thompson has been traded in like 3 days. I'm like, oh, cool. He's a Celtic now.
Where's
he
going?
Cool. Now he's going to the King. You're like, does anybody really care where he goes? Like,
the answer is really. No.
Yeah, like, no. You know, don't really care.
I looked up Chris Dunn's numbers just because I was like, what did he do in Atlanta? I knew he was hurt. I didn't realize he made $1 million a game because he played only 5 games.
Oh, wow.
Very nice.
Yeah.
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 He's got some sick days in there.
Getting those Chandler Parsons contracts right there.
Didn't he? He sure did.
Yeah.
That's called stolen money.
Yeah. So it's, I was like, look at the Celtics. I was like, is Jason Tatum going to be their point guard? It's like, does Dennis Schroeder, the point guard of the Boston Celtics, sound normal to anyone? No, it doesn't.
Hey, that's what we're looking at, boys.
Yeah, all of a sudden Isaiah Thomas signs back, and they're like,
him or Reggie Jackson. Right, let it ride, baby. Let it ride. Brad Stevens, we trust, baby.
Yep.
Oh, man.
I guess.
Yeah, I guess more or less they said the Kings were making this move because they feel like there's a good chance they're going to be losing Rashawn Holmes, which I have to admit, like, I was pretty ignorant to how good he was the past couple
Rashawn
of years.
Holmes?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the only reason I know how good he was because my boy Richard Ivanovsky always was tweeting about how good he was. But he's legit.
Yeah, like last year, played 60 games. He shot 64% from the floor. He was 80% from the line, averaged 8 rebounds a game and 14 mm-hmm. points. Like,
yeah. Yeah, he was tough.
He's going to go to a team next year and be spectacular.
Yes, he will.
He's going to go somewhere and be really good for them. Like, I'm sure the Mavericks could really use a guy like that. I don't know how much money they're going to have left after Tim Hardaway Jr. signs back, but you know, if I'm the Mavericks, I'm looking to get another freaking ball handler. I'm going to try to make a call for Lonzo Ball if I'm the Mavs.
Yeah.
But God, I hope the Lakers can keep Alex Caruso because they're going to need defenders and they're going to need ball handlers.
Yep.
Yeah. It's going to be scary. I think that touches on just about everything. I don't know if we missed anything particularly. Just scanning by real quick. But we're going to wrap up this week's edition of the Bench Mob. Thank you guys for tuning in. Had a lot of fun with this. And, you know, like I said, keep an eye out for Shot Callers later in the week between Kyle and Joe. They're going to have an episode up and kind of have some discussions there as well to kind of go through free agency. If anything crazy happens this week, I'm sure we'll put something up real fast, you know, whatever kind of going on. So just keep an eye out. Like I said, we're all over the social medias of Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. Can't believe I'm talking about TikTok for 48 minutes. So wild. We won't be doing any dances, guys. I hate to break.
We're gonna have to get with Ben because obviously he's the one expert here.
Yes. Explain
this.
If you are catching this and you haven't subscribed to us yet, please do on your podcast provider of choice. Reviews go a long way for us. We're going to roll out. Have a great night from the Bench Mob.